It's quite obvious, and as you've heard, that Tehillim is a very special, and I would say a unique volume in the Kisvei Kodesh, something that probably has more familiarity and more regular use than maybe anything else in the Ksuvim. And most of us are familiar with so many aspects and so many prokim kapitlach of the Tehillim. But I think before we begin, it would be worthwhile to have some sense of the general concept of what David HaMelech was doing with the Tehillim. And I'd like to approach this from a number of different ways. You know, it's a little bit strange. Someone is sick, there's a tzora, we say Tehillim. If you notice that most of the kapitlach, most of the prokim that we recite, have no words of request in them. Shir lamalois eso ene elehori me'ayin yovo ezri. Ezri mi Hashem, we speak about it. The help comes from Hashem, and we strengthen ourselves. Hinei lo yonu velo yishon shomer Yisroel. Yachel Yisroel el Hashem, ki Hashem ha-chesed, v'harbim ha-fidus, hope, and await Hashem's chesed, because that's really what he is, and so forth and so on. V'ani b'chastecho v'otachti, yogeli bi b'shu asecho, I trusted in your chesed, my heart rejoices in the Yeshua. Not a word. And in most of the Tehillim, and in most of the ones that we recite in times of need, there's no element of request. At the end, we make a mishaberach, and we ask that the sick people should be well. At the end, we say, Acheinu kobeis Yisroel, anasulim batzoro vashivyo, a request for the needs and the suffering and the challenges of Klal Yisroel. But the words themselves that we recite so fervently, that are so much part and parcel to every tzora, to every sickness, to every difficulty that Klal Yisrael has experienced over the millennia, not a word of request. And it seems poshut that the basic underlying theme of the Tehillim and of David HaMelech is strengthening our trust in Hashem. The request comes after. The request follows upon reaching a newfound level of reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not the request, but the reliance. It seems that David HaMelech underscored, maybe more than anything else in the Tehillim, the ability to strengthen our bitochen, to strengthen our hope. He uses many languages of hope. Kaveh el Hashem, Yachel Yisrael Hashem, Mitzapim Lishua, Mechakim Lishua, all languages of hope. Bitochoin, trusting Hashem. Chisoyoin, putting a certain level of trust in Hashem even without any consideration of any promise that might be there, the Vilna Goyin tells us. And that really seems to be the power of the Sefer Tehillim. When the Jew inspires himself that everything is from Hashem, that Hashem controls everything, that ein mikre lefonav, there are no accidents in this world, and to the degree that I recognize that everything is in the hand of Hashem, and to the degree that I manage to keep my hope and my faith and my awaiting there for Him to help me, and to the degree that I'm able to muster a confidence and a feeling of security and sureness that He is going to help, that He is going to heal, that He is going to resolve my problems, that creates, that generates a schus, which entitles us to receive even beyond what we could have deserved and even beyond the power of our prayers. And there's a very interesting comment from the Orach Chaim HaKodesh. In Parshas Bishalach, Moshe Rabbeinu is beseeching Hashem to help Klal Yisrael. We came out of Mitzrayim. Paro and his armies are pursuing us. The Yam Suf is raging on this side. Wild beasts are surrounding us on the two other sides. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem. And what does Hashem say to him? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ma titzak elai? What are you crying to me? Daber el Bnei Yisrael viso. Speak to Bnei Yisrael, let them go into the Yam. And the Orachayim HaKodesh asks the question, Ma titzak elai? To whom should we cry? What are you crying to me? But who would you suggest that I cry to? What is Hashem saying to Moshe? And he says as follows. He says, the matzav that the Klal Yisrael was in at that time was in such a precarious situation. There was some type of a kitrug that the Sotan had, that means that some ability to accuse Klal Yisrael and to prevent their prayers from being accepted. So Hashem says to Moshe, Ma titzak elai? He says, your prayers are not going to work at this time. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. There is a koyach that you still have, even beyond the power of your prayers, which are so powerful. And that is the koyach of emunah bitochin. Step into that yamsuf. Show to yourselves and to the world and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you put your trust in Hashem, that you know that Hashem is capable of saving you even as you walk into a raging sea. Put that trust in Hashem, and that can help you even beyond, even when tefillah would not be able to work for you at that time. And I think that's really the secret of our reciting of the Tehillim. It's a system to inspire our trust in Hashem, to focus and refocus and connect and reconnect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the realization that it's all about Him, that there is no other power in the world, that no one else can help us other than Hashem, that He is in total control, and He is so molei chesed verachamim. His essence, He created the world, that Pasuk says in Tehillim, Oilom chesed yiboneh. The world was created all for the purpose of chesed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mishatif with the Bereishis Bo Elohim b'yoyim asois Hashem Elohim. He was mishatif with the Midas HaRachamim, that all of His judgments are a combination of judgment, which in itself is a chesed, because He allows us to earn the good that He gives us, something that we can be proud of, something that we don't have to be embarrassed about, something that we can appreciate. And He was mishatif that with rachamim. He takes into consideration with all of the earnings, rachamim, chesed, rachamim, kindness, mercy. And when we realize that, and when we focus on that, and when we deepen that conviction, that has infinite powers. Powers even beyond our tefillah. And this, I think, is an aspect, maybe a underlying major aspect of what we do and the power of the Tehillim that we say. And I believe that that's why, even at times of great need, when there might be mitzvos that we could do that would be more powerful, that would grant us more schus, yet we turn to the Tehillimul. We turn to that Tehillim because even if we muster more and more and more merit, the merit may not be enough to help us in this time of tzorah, as it wasn't at the time of the Yamsuf. But that bitochin, that strengthened emunah, that strengthened bitochin, that has powers beyond any other powers that we have of schus, the merit that we have, because obviously if we merited the Yeshua, it would have happened without our prayers, of prayer, which is also so powerful. Chazal tell us, tefillah oisa machso, no tefillah is ever turned away empty-handed. But there's a power even beyond that, and that's the power of bitochon. And every nuance of strength and trust that we develop in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that gives us an entree into a world of potential to resolve problems that were beyond our ability to resolve with all of the means, that the spiritual means that we have at our disposal. Had kedei kach, that there's a strange conversation that goes on. It's quoted in the Medrash and the Nefesh HaChayim. Reb Chaim Mivaloshin brings it, that went on between David HaMelech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, the Medrash says, that David HaMelech had a request. Shebikesh David HaMelech olav ha-sholom ilfon of Yisporach. He asked of Hashem, Sheho oisek b'tehilim yechoshev etzlo Yisporach ki'ilu hoyo oisek b'negoyim v'oholois. The one who recites the Tehillim should be considered that he gets the reward as if he's studying Mishnayos. Negoyim v'oholois, or Mishnayos. As if he's studying Torah. David HaMelech requested that the schus, the merit that one gets from being oisek in the Tehillim, should be equivalent to the merit that one gets from Talmud Torah. And it seems she'oisek, and it seems that he continues, harei she'oisek b'hilchas ha'shas b'iyun v'yegiya, one who's oisek in shas, in learning b'iyun b'yegiya, with depth and with effort that he puts in, who inyan yoiser nala v'ohuv l'fonov yisporach me'aminas tilim. It's even more choshuv than saying tilim. Limud ha-Torah is considered a greater schus for Talmud Torah keneged kulam. And by the way, tilim is not necessarily Talmud Torah. If you say a derech tefillah, that's why the Mishnah Berurah brings that you don't even have to say birchas ha-Torah in the morning before you say tilim if you're saying it derech bakosha, because it's not limud, even though it's psukim. We're doing it derech tefillah, not derech limud. And it doesn't equal the schus. In fact, the Nefesh HaChaim points out that it's not mentioned in Chazal whether Hashem answered him or not. His beseech, his request was, please, let it be equivalent to Talmud Torah. Then I ask you, it's very strange. If Talmud Torah is a greater schus than Amiras Tilim, then shouldn't we, in a time of Tzora, be strengthening our Limud HaTorah? Why do we turn to the Tehillim? And in the greatest yeshivas, and throughout the millennia, in the greatest mekaymes ha-Torah, when there was a tzora, they would close the Gemara, and they would recite tilim, sometimes in the middle of a seder, and it happens to this very day when there's an immediate tzora. Like, what's going on? This is a greater mitzvah. What are you doing? And it seems this question gets a little bit more complicated, because the Goyim in Mishle says as follows. Says that the, and listen, I quote the Loshen, the Iker Nesinas HaTorah LeYisrael Hu Kedei SheYiftechu BaHashem. The essence of the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael was to inspire us to put our trust in Hashem. So the Torah is about trust, yet the Tilim is all about trust. The Torah is a bigger schus. The Torah itself is about trust. Yet we leave the Torah, which is to inspire trust, which is the biggest chus, and we're oisek in the Sefer Tilim. What in the world is going on over here? I would like to suggest a resolution to this confusion. And that is as follows. No question about it. Limud HaTorah is the essence of our existence. The greatest mitzvah that we have is Talmud Torah. If you want to, as an aside, just for a moment, because I guess because I can't resist, we've just witnessed a spectacular that's really very difficult to understand. In the last few weeks, with the energy and focus and excitement and anxiety of a presidential election, we've seen a society who allegedly is built upon the Judeo-Christian ethic. That's what our society preaches. And yet, that ethic seems to not have been in operation in this election. In fact, the only people who called on ethics were the opposition against their opponent. The opposition against their opponent. How can a society be so enamored with candidates so flawed? I'm not getting into the politics and who and what, but the flaws were obvious. The issues that were being discussed. In fact, we were voting in Parshas Noach, when we know that the world was destroyed for Chomos, for Gezel, and for Arias. And yet, everybody's quiet. Where's the Judeo-Christian ethic? Why wasn't that ethic operative in the world? The Teretz says, Rabbi Yisai, forgive me, and if anyone hears this out there and they're offended, I can't help it. The Judeo-Christian ethic, even though it's Judeo first, and even though it emanates from our Bible, it doesn't work. There's one secret that maintains the ethics and the morality of society, and that's Limud HaTorah. If it isn't, we're the people of the book, not because we gave the book to the world, not because we have the book, not because we read the book, because we study and our lives are based on the directives of the book. Limud HaTorah says that the Jew is constantly involved in his connection to his Creator and in his directives and obligations from the Creator to him. His life is based upon, what does the Torah tell me? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell me? What does it say in the manual as how to conduct my life? The morals, the ethics, the rituals, the habits, they come and go according to human desire and the baser human influences. But when there's a constant connection to the Borei Olam, when there's that constant, there's that stream of information, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Hashem spoke directly to us, and this is what he told us. And we're constantly struggling. We're studying now Yevomis. Yevomis you're not going to find too often. And yet every nuance is another divine directive. And we realize that if and when I will ever see, or Ben Seiru Meire Chazal say, Lohoyo V'lo Yiyeh. But if I will ever meet a Ben Seiru Meire, this is what Hashem wants me to do. My life is permeated, my mood is influenced, my feelings are built upon following the divine directives. It's only through the constantly reconnecting with our Sinai and the reconnecting with the Creator and the revisiting the source of all of His values and ethics and guidance and obligations. And that constant connection, that's what can make all the difference in terms of our ability to maintain the course. So really, it's very strange. The Torah is the mitzvah, the greatest mitzvah. It's the essence of everything that we have. It's also given to us for the purpose that we should develop a bitochon b'Hashem. Yet we close the Gemara and we recite the Tehillim at a time of tzora, at a time of need. What is going on over here? And I would like to suggest the following. It's a word that maybe we shouldn't use too lightly, but I think it really is. You know, the Torah's goal is to bring us to bitochen. The Torah is an endless process. Human perfection is something that we develop over the days and the months and the years of our lives. And the more we study, the more we achieve that perfection. And the more we learn, the more sensitivity and the more values and the more deeper commitments that we have. And we grow and we grow and we grow and we grow. And that's a lifelong process. I would dare say that the Tehillim might be equated, and I'm a little bit afraid to say this, to the quick fix. We need a fix right now. Yes, I can get additional schusim if I learn. But I don't know if those schusim will overweigh the tzorah that faces me. I don't know that with the additional schusim, it will be enough for me to achieve that which I want, for me to heal the illness, to alleviate the tzorah, to save the parnosa. I don't know. Bitochen works on a different system. It's a shortcut. When we focus on the Tehillim, and we find that moment of trust, that moment of hope, that moment, that light that seems to be blinking at the end of the tunnel. V'ani bechastecho botachti yogei libi bishuasecho. Oh, and that little uplift can make all the difference. That momentary feeling of refusing to give up hope, of feeling a sense of trust, or even maybe just recognizing that there's no accidents. Everything is from Hashem. It seems the lowest level of bitochon is just realizing, I'm not even trusting what's going to happen, just ein mikra lefonav. I know for sure there's no accidents. That in itself has a power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't turn us away. And that means that bitochon is a system that works outside of the judgment, outside of the legal system, so to speak. There are judgments. If there wouldn't have been a judgment, then I wouldn't have had the tzara in the first place. If I deserve the resolution, it would happen without my prayers, without anything. Elamai, maybe I'll do more schusim. That might help, and it can help, and it does help, but it might not be enough. But the bitochin, that's shofaya. The lashon of the Meiri is as follows, and I quote, Haboiteach Bashem, Ein toicheles shaloi nichzivo. One who puts his trust meaning absolute trust, I'm sure, I'm confident, I know you're going to help me, I will see in a moment, there are other levels. Ein toicheles, his hope, will never be dashed, will never be disappointed. That's the power of bitochin. Now, it behooves us to say at this moment that there is no button on the human anatomy that you can push to inspire bitochen. And even the tilimel, just holding it in our hands, or just saying the words, doesn't necessarily mean that we could achieve it. It isn't a joke. It isn't a word. It isn't a fleeting thought. It's a deep-rooted feeling. But we can achieve it. We can achieve it to some level. We can achieve a modicum of that bitochen, and that can make all of the difference in our lives. But it's critical at this point to mention something which is maybe well-known. It's a famous story. Someone once came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he told him he had a terrible tzora, and he needs $10,000 or a ruble or whatever the currency was at the time, and what do I do? He says, buy a lottery ticket and have 100% bitochen, really trust, don't fake it, that Hashem's going to give it to you, and you'll see it, you'll win. The guy buys the ticket, he says, bitochen, he's 100%, he's sure. Months go by and nothing happens. At one point he says, I don't see what's going on over here. He goes back to Reb Yisroel and he says to him, I did it. Nothing happens. He says, do you have bitochen 100% that you'll win the $10,000? He says, yes, I do. He says, okay, will you sell me your ticket for $5,000? Yeah. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? It's not real. It's words. Bitochen is not words. Bitochen is not fake. You can't fake it till you make it. Well, maybe you can, but you got to make it. You got to get there. So there's not a button that we press. And we can't just say, I have bitochen. It's a very serious mistake. But there are levels of bitochen that we can work on and gradually grow. And David HaMelech, in his Tehillim, has given us the blueprint and the guide how to achieve these levels. And I'd like to share with you, just very briefly, a few of these levels. The basic level, and I mentioned it before, ein mikra lefonav. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not even so sure that I am still as optimistic as I would like to be. But I know one thing for sure, that it's all b'yad Hashem. That means it makes no difference what the market says or does. That means it makes no difference what the doctor says is going to be. That means nothing makes a difference because ein oid milvadoi, ein mikre lefonov, everything is controlled by Hashem. That in itself is a tremendous schus, and it's an entitlement for us to achieve, but not yet the highest level of bitochen. It creates a certain menuchas hanefesh, which is the byproduct of bitochen, a certain peace of mind, because I know it's not an accident. It's not an accident. That I know. I know it's in control. And I know who's in control. and I know his kindness, his goodness, his mercy, his love, his caring. I don't know what he has in store for me, but I know this. He's in charge. Then begins another level. That level is referred to by David HaMelech in four different languages, four different words. One is called Kivui, Kaveh El Hashem, hope. The other one is called Yichul, Yachel Yisrael. It's another form of hope. Another one is called Chikui, awaiting. Nafshenu Chikso Lashem, Loshin Chikui, David HaMelech says. And the fourth one is Tzipio, Letzapa, Metzapim Lishua. That's awaiting. There are four different levels. Now, none of these levels, Kivui, Chipui, Tzipui, or Yichul, say that I am sure of the result. I don't know what the result is going to be, but I am surely not giving up hope. And it makes no difference what my investments look like. It makes no difference how dire my business situation looks. It makes no difference what the doctor has declared with this cold certainty that is beyond the pale of what could take place. Because I don't lose hope. And I don't lose hope because I know who is in charge. And I know how much he cares. And I know how much he loves. And I know how much he feels my pain. And I know how much he wants to help me. And yes, he has a system. And there is a system in this world of justice. And he created that system in order to be able to do chesed in a very magnanimous way so that we should earn what we get, so we should be proud of it and happy with it and not embarrassed from it and appreciate it. But on the other hand, he gave us almost like a way around, you know, a shortcut, a side, a bypass. And that is, to the degree that you're focused on me, it's to that degree that you influence what happens, even beyond that which you earned, even beyond that which you deserved. And I believe that that's why, even though the schus, the merit, the mitzvah of saying Tehillim is not as great as Talmud Torah. And we don't find that David HaMelech was answered. We don't know what the answer was. But we see from David HaMelech's request that initially it wasn't as great. He asks that it should be. No, but it's a system, it's a method. And this is why, over the ages, Klal Yisroel has been so tight with the Sefer Tehillim, because this was our pass to get around what may be an obstacle in our earnings and deservings, and through the trust that we can muster in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to influence the outcome of events. So this is, in a very general sense, about the power of the Tehillim and the power of the Bitochon that the Tehillim inspires. Tehillim is Tehillos, praises. In fact, Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it at the beginning, that there are 10 languages of praise that we find in Sefer Tehillim. Basora mine zemer nema ze sefer nitzuach nigun mizmor shir hallel tfilo brocho hoido ashrei and then halleluko. 10 languages of praise to Hashem. I'd like to talk for a moment about what it means to praise Hashem. Imagine, to avoid any politics, let's just imagine the Queen of England were to walk into this room and we would all rise and welcome her. Welcome, Queen of this little Beis Medrash. The Queen would be very insulted because I'm the Queen of the British Commonwealth and you have crowned me, anointed me, the Queen of the Beis Medrash. You have insulted me. You have belittled my kingdom. So too when we praise Hashem with Nitzach and with Shir and with Hoidoh and with Hallel and with Brocho and with all of the praises that we say. But we understand Hashem's greatness. When I say, oh, Yehoidu Lashem ki toiv ki la'olam chastoi, do I have a concept of the extent of Hashem's kindness? When I say a brocha Hashem, when I say a hallel, when I say a tehillah, when I... My concept is myopic. No, that's too big compared to who Hashem really is. So he gives us a sefer tilim. David HaMelech authored a sefer of insults to the Bayri Olam. And the insults are what we say, and they help us in a time of need. What in the world is going on over here? The teretzis, the tehillim, and the praises were all given for our benefit. Hashem doesn't need our praises. And even if we understood him to the fullest and we wouldn't be just the equivalent of praising the Queen of England as the Queen of this room, matitenli, it's letoiv loch, it's to your benefit. It inspires us. It brings us closer to him. It inspires our trust in him. It inspires our awareness of him. It inspires our confidence in him. It inspires our hope in him. And that realization of who he is serves to help us to strengthen that bitochen and to allow us to achieve and to receive beyond what we ever could have possibly been able to achieve. But I'd like to add one more thing. There's a very big danger, and that is, I think, elucidated in what Chazal say here in the Medrash, because it says the final tehillah, the final praise, the 10th one is Halleluka. Ugodol mikulam Halleluka. That Halleluka is the greatest of all the praises. Shekoilel shem v'shevach b'tevo achas. Because Rashi doesn't bring that last part of the Chazal, because it includes the name of Hashem and the praise in one word. What's the difference? Tell me. What could be the difference if I say Hallelujah es Hashem, praise Hashem, or I say Hallelujah in one word? What's the difference? And I would like to suggest that I believe the difference is as follows. We have a problem. Even as we say the Tillim, we have a tendency to forget Hashem. We have a tendency to think that we can go it on our own. We have a tendency to think like the guy looking for the parking space in Manhattan for his most important appointment, and he's praying and praying, and please, Hashem, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. And all of a sudden, he sees right across there parking spaces. Never mind, I have the situation under control. We love to do that. We don't want to be beholden. We want to be free. I don't want to feel that I owe him so much. I owe him enough. I want a little freedom, that I could cheat a little bit, I could do a little bit, I could feel, I don't have to feel so guilty when I make mistakes. And we forget about Hashem. Ad kedei kach, that the Ralbag teaches us, that on the Yam Suf, when they saw miracles like no one ever saw before, Vayar Yisrael Tayot HaGdoy Lashras Hashem B'Mitzrayim, the Targum learns, they first recognized all the miracles of Mitzrayim on the Yam Suf. Ashifcha and the Yamsuf saw more than Yechezkel ben Buzi in his Navua. Where they pointed with the finger and said, Zekeli van Vehu. The Torah was made on them by Aminu Bashem over Moshe Avdoi. They believed in Hashem and in Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet the Ralbag says, if they hadn't said the Shira, the praises, as soon as they went through the Yamsuf, they would have lost that Emuna to some degree. How could you lose it? It's real. I saw it. I lived it. I pointed it out. The Shifcha saw more than Yechezkel Anovi. That's the human being. That's what we are. We tend to have gaps. We have these momentary gaps where we forget Hashem. I want to think it's Koich V'Yotzim Yodi. I want to think it's my MBA from Harvard. I want to think it's my business acumen. I want to think it's my exercising. I want to think it's this. I want to think it's that. And we tend to forget Hashem. Hallelujah es Hashem. There's room to forget him between the Hallelujah and the Shem. Hallelujah, it's one word. There's no room to forget. And that's the message. The greatest praise of Hashem is one that doesn't allow us to forget about him at all. And that's really the goal of the Sefer Tilim. not to forget about Hashem at all, to remember constantly, to know, to focus, to refocus, because in truth, this is really what it's all about. This is what life is about. This is where everything comes from. And without this, we have nothing. Let's see if we can't, for a few moments, begin the Sefer Tehillim. Ashrei ho'ish asher lo holach ba'atzas rishoyim uvederech hatoyim lo omad uvemoshev leitzim lo yoshov. David HaMelech starts by reminding us and warning us and telling us, if you want the good life, then don't go in the way of the Rishoyim. And I would dare say it's mashma that, not that I'm a Rosha, but don't even associate. Stay far enough away. Don't go in their way. Uvederech hatoyim lo omad, don't even stand there. Not even a momentary connection to them. Uvemoshev leitzim. And certainly with these lates and with these scoffers, with these people who are making fun of Hashem and His Torah and of the purpose in life, don't sit down to have coffee with them. Stay away, because the dangers are overwhelming. The dangers of life, we're so vulnerable. We're so vulnerable just to what we see, just to our associations. We make such a mistake, you know. It says, my Amolek asher korcho baderech. So Rashi says over there, the Loshon korcho is a Loshon korv achoyim. And Rashi gives a moshel that Amolek's attack on Klal Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim was like a hot bath. When there's a boiling bath, the first person who puts his foot in it gets burnt, but he cools it off for the next guy. The Amolek cooled off the Klal Yisrael for the next attacker. Had Amolek never attacked Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael would have been invincible. Nobody would have ever dared. But, oh, it's been done. The question is, Amalek was destroyed? Amalek lost the battle? Crime doesn't pay? The lesson is abstract. The fact is, we saw someone attacking Klal Yisrael. The dangers of seeing that the tenets of Yahadus being shot, being undermined, being compromised, being denigrated, being disgraced, that has a hashpa on us, even if we're just holach, ve'omad, ve'yoshav. I'm not even participating, because we have a dangerous existence when we're surrounded by decadence. And we are surrounded by decadence, and we have experienced a period of idolization, I might almost say, of decadence in a certain subtle sense, not directly, then we're in danger. What do we do? Ki im, the second posuk, b'teiras Hashem cheftzoi uv'soirosoi yege yoimon v'oloilo. There's one eitzah to protect ourselves, to assure ourselves, to insulate ourselves, and that's b'teiras Hashem cheftzoi. My desire is Hashem's Torah, and in the Torah, I will toil day and night. And the secret that exists in this posuk is mind-boggling. Look at the language. Ki im b'teiras Hashem cheftzoi. It's the Torah of Hashem, and in his Torah, that's the studier, the student, yege yom v'laylo. That's what Rashi points out. What's the pshat? Is it the Torah Hashem, or is it my Torah? It's b'teras Hashem cheftzoi, uv'soirosoi, Rashi points out, yege yom v'laylo. It's my Torah. The truth is, when you make birchas ha-Torah, we have the same contradiction. Asher bochar bonu mikol ha'amim, he chose us from all the nations. V'nosan lonu es toirosoi, he gave us his Torah. Boruch ato Hashem, noisein ha'toirah. No, I'm sorry. Boruch Hashem, yeah. Asher bochar v'nosan lonu es toirosoi, he gave us his Torah, so it's, he gave it to us, and it's his. So is it his, or is it ours? He's the noisein ha'toirah, and it was his, he gave it to us. What's going on over there? And the Teretz is very simple. Rashi explains. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi says like this. B'tchilo hinekreis teiras Hashem. U'kishe omal bo hinekreis teirosoi. Originally, this was teiras Hashem. But when the Jew is omal ba'teira, when he studies the Torah, when he takes it seriously, when his yegeh, hegyo in libi, is thoughts, he thinks about it, this is what's on his mind, this is his life, this permeates his existence, then it becomes Torah soi. The Rabbeinu Shalalem turns that Torah over to the Jew. So here lies the secret of our morality. When the Jew is committed to his Torah, but not just to the ethics of his Torah in the abstract, but the study of his Torah. Yoimom v'olaylo, thinking about it, it's on my mind, it's all the time, it permeates my whole existence. I'm a different human being. Then the Torah becomes mine. The directives are mine. I decide it's halocha. Ad kedei kach, you know that if the Beis Din decides a halocha and a bas koil comes out from Shemayim and says the halocha is wrong, the Beis Din respectfully says, ein mashkichem bebas koil. We don't listen to the heavenly voice. Loi bashomayim hi. You gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. When we are Yehege Yomo V'layla, then it's our Torah, and you rescinded you, the divine, the author of the Torah, the one who gave the Torah, the Borei Olam. He rescinded his rights over the Torah, and it's mine. And I believe that this is really the strength of Jewish morality. It isn't just values. It isn't just ethics. It certainly isn't a man-made constitution that can keep us in line. And that's quite obvious. As brilliant as the founding fathers were, and as ingenious as the system of an executive branch and a judicial branch and a Congress, doesn't really work. Because it all depends on the human beings involved, as we see. And even those original human beings, if you study your history, they may have been brilliant. I don't know where they were holding on a scale of 1 to 10 in their morality and in their ethics and maybe even in their integrity. But no, this is the divine Torah. But that's not enough. If it's the divine Torah, all right, it's the divine. So that's God. God wants me to do this. I'll try my best. But I'm a human being. And I'm tempted and I'm torn and I'm drawn in all directions. But I'm constantly thinking about the Torah. That's what's on my mind. I come on a Motzoi Shabbos when I might have so many other things to do just to learn a little bit. And I've been coming for over 2 decades for some of us. This is of a Torosa Yege Yom Valaylo. I get up early in the morning to go to learn. I go out after work late at night when I barely can move. And the best thing would be just to sit on the couch. And I run to a shir of a Torosa Yege Yom Valaylo. How many people do we see on the train learning? Not to mention shiurim, but private learning. And well, you don't really know what they're listening to, but, you know, they seem to be listening to shiurim. And That's our secret. That's the people of the book. That's how we manage to maintain the highest level of moral commitment and dedication under the most difficult circumstances. To continue, v'hoyo ke'etz, and here comes a brocha that David HaMelech tells us. If we're going to keep this Teirosa Yege Yom V'loylo, we're going to be ke'etz shosul al pal gemoyim asher piro yiten be'itoy v'leo lo yibol v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. We're going to be like a tree that's been deeply planted by the side of the water. It has constant nourishment. And its fruits are going to blossom in their time. And its leaves are not going to wither. V'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. And everything that he does, everything that we do, when our lives are based on staying away from the immoral influences, and b'toyroso yege yoimon v'olaylo, then we are assured of kol asher yasel yatzliach. Loichein ha-reshoim kim kamoitz asher titfenu ruach. The reshoim will blow away like the shells of the thin shells of these whatever it may be, nuts or other things that just blow away in the wind. Al kein lo yakum rishoyim ba mishpot. The rishoyim will not be successful when it comes to judgment. V'chatoyim ba'adas tzadikim. And those that sin in the congregations of the righteous. Ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim v'derech rishoyim toivet. Hashem knows the way of tzadikim. That's the way he loves. That's the way he favors. Those are the ones that he grants hatzlocha. V'derech rishoyim toivet. And the way of the wicked will be destruction. And this really, I think, sets the tone for the emotion and the feeling that we have to have. When we say the Sefer Tehillim, we shouldn't think that if we develop this bitochen in Hashem, that everything else is good. It may be true. In fact, Chazal tell us, it's the pasuk says, Rabbi machoivim lo rosho, v'abeteach b'Hashem chesed yisoivavenu, afilu rosho u'beteach b'Hashem chesed yisoivavenu. Even a wicked person, if he musters the trust in Hashem, he'll be surrounded by kindness too. But it's so hard to get to that trust. David HaMelech says, you want to get to that trust? You want to develop the best benefits from this Sefer Tehillim? You want to be able to inspire yourself with that bitochen that's necessary to approach the difficulties, the vicissitudes of life, and make a difference in our lives where even our tefillas and our schusim couldn't make a difference? This is the way. Stick with the tzaddikim. Stay far from the rishoyim. Stay with the Torah v'toroso yege yoimom v'laylo, and your life will be entirely different. I'd like to close with just a little story. This generation was privileged with a godel who lived more than 100 years, passed away a few years ago, Rabbi Yosef Sholem Elyashiv. Was in his day the Poisek Hador in Yerushalayim. His hasmoda, his yege yom of alayla, was unbelievable. Unbelievable. The extent of it was like they say 18 hours a day as a matter of routine for maybe 90 years. Unreal, and there's so many stories about that, but we don't have time for that now. But I witnessed something which I truly believe is the result of the Soiroso Yege Yoimon Valailo and the difference between an allegiance, so to speak, to the Judeo-Christian ethic and a life built upon that intimate connection with the Dvar Hashem in his Torah. I was at a bar mitzvah a number of years ago. It was a bar mitzvah of a family member of his. And his custom was to, you know, like a great-great nephew or something like that, I don't know, come in, sit down with the bar mitzvah bocher for a few moments at the dais, take a picture with the bar mitzvah bocher, and then leave to go back to his responsibilities, his learning. And this bar mitzvah, he did the same, but he calls over the Baal Simcha, the father of the bar mitzvah bocher, and says to him, he says, where is last year's bar mitzvah bocher? There was a bar mitzvah bocher last year. Like, what's going on over here? So he says, last year I wasn't able to come to the simcha. I wasn't feeling well. And I don't want the last year's boy to feel bad that his younger brother has a picture with me. And he wasn't interested in getting his picture in the papers, you know what I mean? It wasn't into that stuff. And I don't want him to feel bad, so I want him to come over. I'll take a picture with him. He'll also have a picture with me. Here's a man whose life was Torah. Here's a man who all the affairs of Klal Yisrael were on his shoulder. Here's a man who had nothing more important to think about than last year I was sick and I missed the bar mitzvah, and now I remember it as I'm sitting here and I want to call him over so I could take a picture with him so he shouldn't feel bad. This is what happens. This is the difference between morals and ethics that are based on directives and morals and ethics that are based on Torah. This is what David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the schus for Tehillim should be equal to the schus of learning Torah, because the Torah is what has kept the Klal Yisrael alive. But in a time of tzora, when we turn to Hashem quickly and we invoke the Tehillim and we inspire ourselves ever so slightly, uplifting ourselves in the Midas HaBitochen, that can make all the difference. Even beyond what we could deserve, even beyond our tefillas, And Be'ez Hashem, we hope that as we continue to learn and understand with a greater depth the words of David HaMelech, it will be able to reverberate in our tefillos, reverberate in our tilim, and have its impact on our daily existence.